Our gracious Heavenly Father, the God of glory and majesty, and the one who has reached out to us in His love. Father, we thank You that we are able to come before Your presence this day to worship You. We rejoice that we can come before Your presence as Your children, knowing that You love us, You care for us. We thank You for Your high calling, and we pray that You help us to grow in our appreciation of Your intentions for our lives and how we can respond well and fulfill Your purposes for our lives. We thank You for the scriptures. We thank You for church life. We thank You for the brethren with whom we can learn and grow together. We pray that You be pleased to be in our midst, that You may have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us spiritual insight into the truth, renew our minds, and strengthen our resolve to be faithful to You. We commit this time to Your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes. The 71st message. We've been considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man. The 40th message. The subtopic for today. Bird's eye view of the subject. Bird's eye view of the subject. As we come to the end of our consideration of the subject of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, we shall attempt a bird's eye view of this area of truth. It is helpful to have an overall picture and also to take note of some of the major features and issues involved. There are many important points which will be referred to in the message. They have been covered in preceding messages with elaboration, substantiation from the scriptures. So I will not be elaborating, substantiating so much in this message. Why have we taken so much time to consider this subject? It's because it is an extremely important area of truth, and it is important to have a good and accurate understanding of the subject, which has far-reaching implications. We ask ourselves, why did God create man? What is God's purpose in creating man? And what are God's intentions for man? These are fundamental questions of life. And one way of answering these questions, especially God's intentions for man, we can say that there are basically two interrelated key aspects of God's intentions for man. And these two key aspects are bound up with, and they have a direct bearing on all the major issues of life, including how well we fare in the major areas of the Christian faith. And the two key aspects of God's intentions for man are A. moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, and B. deep and quality fellowship of man with God and with one another. These are two basic aspects of life that we must continually concentrate upon as God's children. If we fare well in them, we will fare well in life. Importance of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. If we read through the scriptures, we will find that this is of primary importance, and moral, spiritual beauty and stature is of eternal value. This comes through powerfully in Paul's writings, both in terms of the goal of God's intentions for man, as well as the way he referred to this aspect of life. Paul, when referring to the trials and afflictions that he and his co-workers went through, which were very severe, if we read through his epistles, and yet he referred to them as just momentary light afflictions. In the light of the positive qualities of the inner man and character transformation that took place in their lives in the midst of the trials which was producing for them an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. The words of Paul, eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. The weight of it, and is also has eternal implications. The character transformation, the renewal of the inner man. That's how important it is. It's a major aspect of God's goal for man, and that is growth to maturity in Christ, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13, to be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. Moral spiritual beauty and stature is very valuable in itself and precious in the sight of God. It is good and vital for the quality of being and also for the well-being of the person. That means apart from other issues, it is good and valuable in itself. It's vital for the meaning and quality of being and also the well-being of the person. It also has a direct bearing on the quality and meaning on the fundamental aspects of our faith. For example, our relationship with God, our worship of God, the freedom God has to speak to us, to entrust things to us, our ability to hear Him, to discern His will, to obey Him, to serve Him faithfully, effectively. All these are the issues that a Christian ought to be concerned about, and the quality and meaning of our being. The moral, spiritual stature of the person would have a direct bearing on all these fundamental aspects, including the quality of our life on earth as well as in eternity. The quality of our relationship with people, whether it be Christians or non-Christians, whether we can have a positive impact on them, influence on them, the quality of it, our moral, spiritual beauty and stature would have a direct bearing on all these. Likewise, the quality of our prayer life, our ability to understand the scriptures, to benefit from the scriptures, and also to communicate the truths of the scriptures to others. We know that all these are key issues of the Christian faith. Likewise, church life, how well we can participate, receive, contribute, fulfill our part. Another major aspect of the Christian life is overcoming the evil one and the wiles of the evil one, and to live an overcoming life. The quality and meaning of our being, our moral, spiritual beauty and stature would have a direct bearing on how well we can overcome. Likewise, our participation, our contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. These are the earnest longings of the believer's heart. How can we contribute well to God's kingdom? Whether and to what degree we have made progress in our moral, spiritual beauty and stature would have a direct bearing. In summary, we can say that moral, spiritual beauty and stature has a direct bearing on the meaning and quality of the other key aspect of God's intentions for man, and that is our relationship with God and also our relationship with the brethren. And it has direct bearing on the meaning and effective participation in our working of God's purposes on earth as well as in eternity. However, this very important and precious thing is something that God cannot just give it to us. It's not something we can just pray that God will give it to us and He will just give it to us. It is not possible. God cannot give it to us, bestow upon us, because it requires positive moral, spiritual input and response from the particular person for him to grow in moral, spiritual stature. And it is very meaningful that it is this way. Because on the one hand, God cannot just give it to us. On the other hand, it is also true that no one can prevent us from responding positively or blocking our growth. And it is feasible for us to learn and to grow by God's grace in all kinds of situations. No circumstance can block us. No one can block us, not even the evil one. In fact, adverse circumstances can actually result in accelerated growth if we respond well. And all this is true because God in His perfect wisdom has ordained it this way. Another way of appreciating the significance of this subject is to pause and to consider this observation, that as we reflect on the major problems and the complexities confronting the universal church, we can say that a major reason for the problems and the complexities that confronts the universal church and the failure of man to respond well to God's calling and His bountiful provisions for us is the failure to pay sufficient attention to moral, spiritual beauty and stature. There are many things that are going on that grieve the heart of God. God has made bountiful provisions for us, more than adequate. But there are major failures of men and major problems confronting the universal church. And we can say that a major reason is the failure to pay sufficient attention. It's not that believers do not recognize the importance of moral, spiritual beauty and stature at all. They do, to some degree, but not sufficient clarity of the appreciation of this subject. The other is insufficient attention, both to study this subject as well as to concentrate on making progress and how believers can be helped to make good progress. And this results in poor growth and weak believers. It results in superficial knowledge of God and relationship with God. There are many things that may appear going on well, many activities, many achievements from the outward appearance of things, but in reality, very lacking in what really matters, what really counts, and that is true impact in the spiritual realm. Likewise, ineffective service, unable to cope with the wiles and attacks of the evil one, and believers, including those in leadership responsibilities, who suffer shipwreck in regard to their faith. We can see in all these various areas, insufficient attention on moral, spiritual beauty and stature has a significant bearing. Of course, related to this, there are other major issues which I will not comment upon at this time. It's helpful for us to note and to reflect upon this point that if God's people can be helped to see the biblical emphasis and to understand and also to pay due attention. Due attention is adequate attention, the way God wants us to pay attention to growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. It would help in promoting the health of the universal church at its very foundation. If we do not pay adequate attention to this important subject, then all kinds of attempts, all kinds of activities, all kinds of things that we may try to do, it will not ultimately be effective if this area is neglected. It is then important for us to be clearer about what we mean by moral, spiritual beauty and stature, what it means to make progress, what it involves, and finally, to understand how we can make good progress. What does it mean? What does making progress mean? Growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature is meant to communicate growth in the direction of the scriptural goal of being complete or mature in Christ, Colossians 1:28. So this phrase, moral, spiritual beauty and stature, it doesn't appear in this form in the scriptures. But the scriptural meaning is there. God wants us to grow in the direction, the scriptural goal of being complete and mature in Christ. This is the goal of Paul's ministry. He says, we proclaim Christ, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete or mature in Christ. That is the goal of Paul's ministry in the building up of the lives of believers. And the passage that we spend much time to look at in Ephesians chapter 4 on church life and the working out to fulfill what is in the heart of God, the fulfillment of God's purposes, we find the midst of it in Ephesians 4:13. A major aspect is for men to move in the direction of maturity in Christ, of the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13. To be perfect as God is perfect, Matthew 5:48. Basically, it is to develop to the fullest potential of God's intention for man, created in the image of God. God created man in his image, and there's great potential for development. And the potential being developed, the direction of it is to develop in a direction of moral, spiritual beauty and stature up to the full maturity in Christ. A primary aspect is moral, the moral character of the person, to be holy as God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, you shall be holy for I am holy. But moral, spiritual beauty and stature goes beyond just the moral aspect and the development of moral character, although that is very, very important. The scriptural goal is to become a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, to grow up in all aspects. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13 is followed by verse 15. Paul says God wants us to, all of us, each one of us, to attain to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And verse 15, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So it's to grow up in all aspects, not just some. And this includes the depth of our knowledge of God and relationship with God. Not just to say that we know God, we have a relationship with Him, but to continue to grow in the depth of knowledge of God, relationship with Him, knowledge of the truth, grasp of the truth, all that God has revealed to us in the scriptures, all that He wants us to know, to understand, to enter into. Spiritual strength and stamina, power in prayer, wisdom, ability to cope with and overcome in the midst of spiritual pressures, including ability to discern, to recognize, to understand the wiles of the evil one and how to counter them, and effectiveness in service. So God wants us to be complete in Christ. That is, every aspect developed to the fullest. But this every aspect is not basically referring to the physical. Although, yes, we should pay attention also to our physical health. Paul says he's laboring so that he can present every man complete in Christ. It is the moral, spiritual maturity. It's not of this world, it is of God's kingdom. At the heart of the meaning of moral, spiritual beauty and stature is the quality of our being. The moral, spiritual quality of our being. And growth involves the development of moral character and the quality of our spirit. Moral, spiritual health, as well as maturity, so involves moral and spiritual dimensions. It requires the response from our heart, but it also includes an essential that the Spirit of God at work in our heart to bring it about as we cooperate with what God seeks to bring about in our lives. The direction of growth, the goal, is our perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and we can also say the being of God. To become more and more like God in his moral, spiritual beauty and stature. In this regard, the being of God is perfect. God is perfect in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and we are to grow in that direction. More and more like God in his being and character, with important qualification, and that is, there are aspects of the being of God we will never attain to, and we should not even try. That is, those which are uniquely the attributes of God. God's omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience. Another way of putting it is to say that the direction of growth, the goal, is the man aspect of the God-man, the Lord Jesus, the God-man. The man aspect. This is at the heart of the meaning of the Lord Jesus as our perfect example. When we say the Lord Jesus is our perfect example, what do we mean? The Lord Jesus, one of the reasons why he came to this earth is to be an example for us, to show us how men should live. But not only that, it's God's idea of the perfect man and perfect life. It's God's intention for man. So the Lord Jesus is an example, you can say our model, our ideal, the goal of our growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. As Paul puts it in Romans 8:29, conformed to the image of Christ. Is the man aspect of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. What about beauty? Moral, spiritual beauty. The meaning of beauty. Many ideas may come into our minds when man talks about beauty. But what is this beauty we are talking about? Here is the beauty of the being, the true beauty. What really counts when we talk about beauty? What we should be really concerned about, and that is inward beauty, not external physical beauty, but inner beauty. The beauty of the inner man, of the heart, of the spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Peter says, our adornment should not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses and so on. But, he says, it should be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So here in this context, Peter is talking about beauty, adornment, putting on dresses and so on. He's talking about beauty. But Peter tells us what is more important, what we should concentrate upon. Not that we do not care at all what dresses we put on, but he says what is more important is to concentrate upon inner beauty, the beauty of the inner man, the hidden person of the heart. That is not immediately obvious as external beauty, but it is the real person, the quality of our spirit, a gentle, quiet spirit. This is true beauty in the eyes of God and is truly precious, as Peter tells us, precious in the sight of God. The other, it is of enduring value. He tells us it's imperishable, imperishable quality. It is beauty from the perspective of God's kingdom. It's beauty that continues on and endures in God's eternal kingdom. And this is what really matters. The more we grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the greater the beauty of our being. And this is a true measurement of the true beauty of man, the quality of his life, and his true worth. Men often measure one another by many means: external beauty, status, wealth, and so on. All these do not really count. In the eyes of God, from the perspective of God's kingdom, this is what counts. To what degree has the individual, has the person developed in true beauty, moral, spiritual beauty, and stature? This is what God looks for in a person. What truly pleases God. And if to us what God is concerned about is important, then we must concentrate on this. Moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Stature refers to the maturity. How much have we grown in Christ? It's helpful to differentiate spiritual health and maturity or stature. differentiate health from maturity and stature. Both are important. They bear relationship with each other, but they are not the same. Spiritual health is something that can be true instantaneously at any given moment of time. A healthy state. And it can be true the moment we become Christians. It has to do with the positive attitude of heart and spirit, the depth of our response to God, commitment. Spiritual health also has varying degrees. But it's related to the depth of our response to God, the depth of commitment, the positive spirit attitude, and the relative absence of negative features in our heart and spirit. So if we respond deeply to God, we can enter into spiritual health straight away. But maturity and stature takes time to develop. We cannot be instantaneously mature of stature. Someone who is spiritually healthy also may not be so stable, because he may not be so strong, so knowledgeable, mature, and if he's not careful, he may give way, he may crumble under pressure, attacks, and wiles of the evil one. He may be deceived by the evil one. Mature spiritual stature, the one who is mature of spiritual stature, is not so likely to crumble, because time has taken, he has developed, he has grown stronger, he's more knowledgeable, he's more able to understand and also to overcome, but he must remain humble and vigilant. Relationship between spiritual health and spiritual stature. Spiritual health is very, very important for good progress, good growth. But we need to bear in mind that spiritual health is dynamic. At one point in time, we may be spiritually healthy, but we can become arrogant, proud, careless, and so on, and spiritual health can degenerate. So spiritual health must be carefully maintained. Otherwise, it can fluctuate, and then it will affect our growth and our ability to respond well to the Lord and to situations. So the more healthy we are, and the more consistently so, the better for growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. So the immediate and the attainable objective of the believer should be spiritual health. But the long-term objective is both spiritual health and stature. Moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man is very important in the sight of God, and he has made all the necessary provisions for man to move well in that direction. We spend much time to consider this. I will not go into details at the moment. The major provisions are sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, church life, and overseeing all this, we can say God is sovereignly watching over our daily lives, guiding, undertaking, and helping us to move in the direction of growth. First, he helps us to come to the point of conversion and salvation in Christ. And from then on, God continually draws us and helps us to go on from being babes in Christ to grow unto maturity in Christ. This is something very, very important in the heart of God, and that is what he desires for each one of us. We can say God sovereignly watches over the lives of those who love him and walk with him, so that all that they go through would help contribute to their growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. As they respond positively to God's provisions and the Holy Spirit working in their lives. So we need not be troubled, fearful, whatever we may go through, if in our hearts we sincerely love the Lord and we are looking to him, trusting him, walking with him. God will be sovereignly watching, undertaking, so that all that we go through would contribute to our growth if we respond positively to God and the Spirit of God at work in our lives. But it's not just whether we are responding positively. It's helpful for us to take note, the more earnest, the deeper our response to what God seeks to teach and train us, the more we will learn and grow. And so we must continually concentrate on nurturing the earnestness and the depth of our response to God, and sensitive to what God desires to teach us and seek to learn well. You may ask, if this area is so important and emphasized in the scriptures, is the goal for man's development, then why is there widespread relative neglect and failure to pay due attention? I want to emphasize, it's not that believers, Christians, do not recognize its importance at all, but relative to its significance, the appreciation of the significance, as well as paying the attention, there's sufficient attention paid because of its significance. We can say there's widespread relative neglect and failure to pay sufficient attention. Why is it so? When it's so important, I will highlight three reasons. One is that the evil one knows that it is extremely important, and he does not want God's children to see its significance and to pay much attention to it, because this will threaten the kingdom of darkness. You will nullify Satan's opposition to the fulfillment of God's purposes. Once man develops in that area, man will overcome the evil one. And so the evil will try all ways and means to distract us, to hinder us from recognizing its importance and significance, or to pay attention to it. And there are many different ways the evil one can blind us, can hinder us. I will not elaborate here. But it's important we must be alert. We must not allow him to succeed. The second reason I want to highlight is that growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature is a difficult process. It's not immediate. It's a process, and it's difficult. It is not easy. And also, it is often not obvious. In other words, even when you're growing, it's not obvious. And it is much easier and more appealing to the flesh to concentrate on the obvious, on activities that produce immediate results, that are visible, that are obvious, and gives a sense of success and accomplishment. And that is what tends to preoccupy many Christians. But if we move in that direction, if that is the approach that we take, we will fail to produce good fruit. Good fruit can only come about when there is genuine growth inwardly. The Lord Jesus says, "Abide in me, I in you, you will produce much fruit." And this abiding in me, I in you, will produce a fruit. First, the growth in the being, and then the spiritual fruit. A third reason that hinders us, a hindrance to the recognition of the proper place, as well as paying due attention to growth, is the failure to appreciate its significance for the meaning and quality of existence and life in eternity. And this is actually very, very significant. Our time on earth is limited, but eternity stretches on and on. How are we going to spend eternity? The richness, the meaning of our time in eternity. How, to what degree we can meaningfully participate in the continuing outworking of God's purposes in eternity. Many do not sufficiently recognize that to what degree we have attained in our growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature would have a direct bearing on the quality of our existence in eternity. Because growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature will carry on. This is imperishable, as you've seen just now, what the Apostle Peter tells us. And it will have a direct bearing on the quality of our relationship with God, to what degree God finds meaning to entrust to us, to work together with us in eternity. At this point, I want to make some brief comments on how to make good progress in moral, spiritual, beauty and stature. Since we can see it's extremely important, some brief comments. It must begin with a strong conviction as well as continuing consciousness of its paramount importance and paying due attention to nurture it. It doesn't come automatically. And God cannot just give it to us. Even if we pray to God to give it to us, or even pray to God to help us to grow, that doesn't mean it will take place. So there must be strong conviction that abides continuing consciousness that is extremely important, and then there are many aspects that we have considered of how to grow. We do pay attention to these things, that we must nurture it. Yes, ultimately, God and the Spirit of God will bring it about. But the Spirit of God brings it about with our cooperation. So it needs to be nurtured. Our recognition, our response to what God seeks to bring about through His Spirit in our lives is extremely important. The other aspect that's very important is the positive approach and perspective of life in relation to our personal development. I elaborate a little what I mean by this. That is, we bear in mind, but we should not be overconscious nor disturbed by a few things that often tends to disturb us. We tend to be overconscious of these things. Bear in mind these things, but do not be overconscious of them. Do not be disturbed by these things. And that is, A, the activities of the powers of darkness, what they are doing and their objectives. We need to learn to recognize, to discern, to know how to counter, but don't be overconscious, don't be disturbed by these things. They should not be our primary consciousness and preoccupation with these things, or worse, become fearful, disturbed by what they are doing. The other, B, is the conduct of other people. Yes, we need to pay attention in the sense of bear in mind and how we relate with people and so on, and our care, concern for others. But the conduct of other people, what they are doing, their motives, their objectives, can often disturb a believer. He's disturbed, he's preoccupied with other people, or whether they blame them and so on. And as a result, their own development becomes disturbed. C is the complexities of situations and the calamities that confront us, situations of life. No matter how perplexing, how difficult, how painful. Yes, we cannot shut our eyes, pretend they are not there. We must face them properly. But I'm talking about being overconscious, being disturbed by these things. And many believers are disturbed by these three things. Rather, yes, we should bear these things in mind, learn how to face them. But our primary concentration must be on God and God's intentions. Here, as I said, I'm talking about our personal development. Where it has to do with ourselves. When we are concentrating on caring for others, that's different. I'm talking about where our own development is concerned. We often feel that the situation is such, how can I grow? Evil one is doing all this and we become disturbed. Other people, are they doing their part and so on? And we become discouraged. Where our development is concerned, our own well-being, our own inner man, and the state of our inner man, our primary concern, concentration, consciousness must be on God, God's intentions, God's provisions, God's working in our lives, what God is seeking to bring about in our lives, and what He desires to teach us. And God can teach us in all kinds of circumstances, and no matter what people are doing or not doing, and what the evil one is trying to do. That the primary issue has to do with how well are we responding to what God is seeking to work and to bring about in our lives. And the importance of continually maintaining a positive attitude, a constructive approach to life, a positive perspective and spirit. That includes a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of gratitude to God. And we can maintain this, not just in words, because ultimately, as we see, no matter what the situations, God has made the provisions, He's sovereignly watching over us and seeking to bring about positive development. And we can all the time be thankful and have a positive perspective and approach, whatever the situation. Continually draw near to the Lord. Seek to deepen our knowledge of God, His ways, and to learn as much as we can. That ought to be our primary concentration. We also need to realize that progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature is closely related to, is bound up with the depth and quality of our relationship with God. These two are very closely related to each other. And as I mentioned earlier, these two are actually the two primary issues of life. Our relationship with God and our own moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and they are both very bound up with each other. They can be likened to the relationship between exercise and good health. You exercise, you have good health. You have good health, you can exercise more. You can exercise better. They are not like two parallel tracks. Both important but independent of each other. No. They are bound up together. They mutually reinforce each other. When we are growing in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, we are able to deepen further our relationship with God. When our relationship with God is good and growing, it will help us in our progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. But then how do you go about it? What is the process? How do you start? I see the starting point is not to concentrate first on moral, spiritual beauty and stature, although that's extremely important. Because without a good relationship with God, it cannot come about. So the process must begin with knowledge of God and relationship with God. So in fact, for the Christian, it starts with our becoming Christian. Because before we become Christians, we cannot properly enter into and benefit much from the grace of God. So we first enter into the relationship with God, and then we grow on from there. So we must begin with knowledge of God, relationship with God, and then we must then nurture an unceasing deep longing for good progress in relationship with God as well as moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And there must be a deep commitment to the pursuit of these goals and not allow ourselves to be distracted or hindered or deterred by anything. These are the primary issues of life: our relationship with God and our moral, spiritual beauty and stature. We must be committed to both of these. This will then result in deepening knowledge of God, relationship with Him, and growth. And this will then move on to further deepening relationship with God and more growth. Is there some way to measure moral, spiritual beauty and stature? How do we even know whether we are growing? Are we growing well? Are we able to tell whether someone has grown more than another, or who is more mature in Christ? It can be clear where the difference is great and obvious, but often it is not clear and we can be easily mistaken, especially where the difference is not extremely great. A major reason why it is difficult to tell and to measure moral, spiritual beauty and stature is because there are multifacets, many aspects to moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And the different aspects may not be growing equally. So someone who may be growing well in some areas, so we may think this person is very mature. But there may be areas we may not be conscious of, they may be very deficient. This is further complicated by different constitutional makeup. Someone who is quiet and reserved may have to do much with constitutional makeup. He or she may not be really that meek. Meekness is a quality, spiritual quality, moral spiritual quality that's developed through our cooperation with the Spirit of God at work in our lives, and so on with various other aspects. In times past, I've mentioned even a person who may appear more irritable, more hot-tempered. But some of this is related to also the constitutional makeup. So it may not always be very easy to tell how much a person has grown. But that is not to say there's no way of telling. But I just want to raise this for your consideration and to bear in mind. Likewise, spiritual gifts, God's calling, and how God is equipping different ones, all this can sometimes make it a bit more difficult for us to perceive accurately. It is also difficult to perceive, to assess accurately the meaning and quality of the presence and manifestation of each facet, not to talk about the fact that there are many facets. For example, effectiveness in prayer may not be very easy for us to know how to understand, to recognize how effective is a person's prayer life. So in all these areas, we must be slow to conclude. For other people, as well as for ourselves, and ultimately, of course, our concentration should not be on comparison, and we should not go on the basis of comparison. We must each one concentrate on growing well in our personal lives and how we can be encouragement to one another to grow well. But the point I want to emphasize is more two things. That is at times not easy to tell. The other, which is very important, is for us to take note. There are many facets, and we must pay attention to all aspects of development of the quality of being. This is a very important point. God wants us to grow up in all aspects in Christ for wholesome development. We've seen in Ephesians 4:15. To grow up all in all aspects into Him. That is Christ. And this includes overcoming the negative features and weaknesses in our lives. In fact, this is a very important aspect if we want to grow well. And over the years, this is an aspect that from time to time we have tried to cover in a way that can help each one of us recognize, hopefully, as we look to the Lord, to recognize some of these features, negative features in our lives and to deal with them. Because the relative presence or absence of negative features and weaknesses is a major issue pertaining to moral, spiritual beauty and stature. I say relative presence or absence because generally it's a question of relative. That is, there may be some presence, but that doesn't necessarily mean it means very, very bad. Even if you have grown, often there can still be some presence of some of these negative features, even if you are not conscious of it. So it's not just whether they are present or not, but the relative presence or absence. God seeks to deal with these weaknesses, deficiencies. Are we responding well? Are we overcoming them? So a quick listing of some of these aspects. For example, like pride. We may not be very conscious of it, but many of us do have deficiency in this area, to show off, to project ourselves, self-exaltation. Closely linked to this, a desire for recognition, reputation, status. Then the aspect of impatience, impulsive, irritable, sensitive, reactive, or complacent, passivity, fearful, sense of insecurity, anxious, worried. Weakness in the area of food, sexual issues, attractions and pleasures of this life, a desire for material wealth, possessions, you can say this greed, covetousness, preoccupation with self and self-interest, and hurts, and lacking in concern and consideration for others and their welfare. So in many of these areas, it's not absolute. And we need to ponder over and be sensitive to what the Lord is trying to speak to us through many situations of life. But in all this, as I mentioned earlier, we need to factor in the constitutional makeup, as well as the degree of exposure to temptations and the degree of pressure. Sometimes you may see the person irritable, impatient, and so on, but he may be under a lot of pressure, and so on in many of these areas. All this we need to bear in mind, not just for others, but also for ourselves. Sometimes the evil attacks us very severely and we fail and become very discouraged. It may not be that our state is very bad. In fact, we may be making progress. So we need to bear in mind all this. Likewise, at times it may not be obvious and we think we are going on well. But there may be various areas in our hearts that are not good. And if we are not prayerful, we don't look to the Lord to deal with them, then under pressure it can become very ugly and it can have very adverse implications for our lives. We must take note of this point. Any area neglected or not developing well will adversely affect the total being and our total development. So there's a need to seek to develop all aspects. This helps us appreciate God allowing us to go through various kinds of situations and trials for our total learning and development in every aspect of our being. And the trials and difficulties and situations can also help to bring out the weaknesses, the deficiencies, so that they can be dealt with, and opportunities for us, by the grace of God, to deal with these things as well as to nurture the positive. This helps us to appreciate why James says, "Count it all joy when you encounter various or all kinds of trials," because God wants it to bring about the perfect result, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, and that is our development in all aspects, the total development of quality of being in every aspect, total wholesome growth. And so we must make the most of the opportunities God grants us to learn well and to learn deeply. However, it's sad to say that at times we are overconscious of the pain, the difficulties, we become discouraged, miserable, depressed, or we may reactive. And as a result, we do not learn well. Different aspects are like different parts of the body. The health of each part of the body relevant to the total health of the person. Likewise, the different aspects of moral, spiritual, beauty and stature. So the condition of our eyes, ears, nose, hands, legs, they affect the total person. And even the parts that are not so visible, whether it be our heart, our brain, our liver, our kidneys, our lungs, our digestive system. If your digestive system gives problem, we know the whole person suffers. And if it breaks down, the whole person can break down. So the condition and health of each part affects the health of the person, and the various parts will also affect one another directly or indirectly. We must also bear in mind that some aspects that are not so obvious may have significant bearing on our development. There can be, for example, deep-seated deficiencies that we are not so conscious of. And so I'll just conclude with this statement. Of our need to continually, prayerfully look to the Lord, ask Him by His grace and mercy to help us to see, to recognize, especially deep-seated deficiencies within us, as well as the more obvious, what steps we can take to overcome them, and also what are the positive areas that we need to pay more attention to, and even as the Lord helps us to recognize, we must also look to the Lord to help us to overcome the weaknesses by His grace, and also that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to mold us, to bring about the positive features. This must be the constant longing and prayer of our hearts, not just in the general terms, but also in specific areas and issues. May the Lord deeply impress upon each one of us the importance of the issues involved at a personal level, and also our concern for one another. The most valuable contribution that you can participate in and contribute to the lives of the brethren is if in some way you can contribute to the progress in moral, spiritual, beauty and stature of the brethren. And all of us can contribute to one another, if not in other ways. There is one way that we can that is very, very powerful, and that is prayer. There are also many other ways in which we can be an encouragement to the lives of the brethren. I will not elaborate here. but just conclude on this note of our need to concentrate on this area for ourselves and also our concern for one another. We will stop here for today, and the Lord willing, I will complete our consideration of this subject in the next message. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, draw near to the Lord, thank Him for His provisions for us, and His provision of the Lord's Supper is directly related to the subject we are considering today. The Lord's Supper is meant to strengthen us. And the issues pertaining to the Lord's Supper is a time meant for us to reflect on God's goodness, especially His provision of the Lord Jesus Christ and what took place at the cross, and together with the resurrection of Christ, His ascension, exaltation, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a time for us to reflect on the goodness of God, on what the Lord Jesus has taught us, what God is seeking to communicate to us through the Scriptures. The Lord's Supper is a time when we know we are partaking not on our own, just between us and God, but together with the brethren. The recognition of our fellowship together in church life, how we can be encouragement to one another to learn and grow together, that we may all move in the direction of maturity in Christ. It's also a time for us to reflect over our lives, whether there are aspects of deficiencies, steps that we need to take to correct ourselves, that hinders our relationship with God, our growth in the Lord, as well as a hindrance in our working out together with the brethren. Let's ask the Spirit of God that He may have the freedom to speak to us. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the depth of Your love toward us. Thank You for Your kind intention toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. All You intend for us in Him. And we pray that You will help us to appreciate deeply the richness of Your provisions and the height and depth of Your high calling. They may indeed respond well to what You are seeking to bring about in our lives, at a personal level and also together as Your people. We pray that You help us more and more to learn to see things the way You do, and to view the issues of life from the perspective of Your kingdom. Help us not to be distracted, deterred, discouraged by what takes place in this world, but that constantly we may be conscious of what You are seeking to teach us and Your working in our lives. We thank You that You have made bountiful provisions for us, and that by Your grace we can make good progress and live an overcoming life. We thank You for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We thank You for what the Lord Jesus went through on our behalf at the cross. We pray that You prepare our hearts as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we may not partake in an unworthy manner. We ask that You will wash away our sins, help us put right whatever needs to be put right in our lives. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.